The Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He said, "A child whom he put among them." And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning. You know, usually Sunday mornings I get up, get my cup of coffee, and I turn on the TV, and I listen to some of these evangelists or these pastors or these mega churches that are on TV. And one guy that I listen to occasionally is Joel Osteen. Maybe you've heard him, watched him, or whatever. But what I like about him is that he always starts his talks with something that's funny. So I thought I'd start with something that's funny. Now, this is a story that many of you know, I've already told you, but it happened a couple months ago. And some of you know I sold my house a couple months ago and moved into 7500 York, where a number of people from this church go. And when I was moving and packing things up, I had Nancy's urn. So I said, well, I don't want to put it in a box and forget where it is. So I set it aside to come back later. So I came back later, got her urn, and it's nice maroon urn, metal, really nice thing with her name on it. And it came in this little sack bag, nice purple velvet with a nice little gold string on top to keep it from being scratched or something like that. So I went to 7500 York. I went in the door, went in the elevator, and the lady came in right after me and, you know, said good morning. And she looked at me and kind of stared at me for a few moments, and she said, "What's in the bag?" I go, "You mean this?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "My wife." Now, does anybody know what I was doing right here on this spot on October 19th, 1991? Anybody know? Yell it out. I married Nancy Hansen right here on this spot, October 19th, 91. It was a beautiful day. You know, you could get some really bad days in October. It was 70, sunny, the leaves were changing, the ceremony itself was great. There were 300 people here, of which I think 250 were friends of Nancy's. You know, what am I going to do? But it was just a great, great day. And if you'd have asked anybody that was out here what the number one highlight was for me during the ceremony, and they would have probably said, well, it was when you sang the song that you wrote to Nancy. And so do you want to hear a little part of that, the song that I wrote?
Yes.
Okay. "It started as a dream, just fun and casual laughter, but it turned into love that only we can share. For our love for each other is bonded with God's care. For I am for you, and you are for me." Kind of nice song, you know? But you would think that that would be the number one highlight for me. Actually, it was number two. The number one highlight for me was when Nancy and I are doing our vows. And we're right here, holding on to each other's hands, looking into each other's eyes. And Pastor Tim turned to me and said, "Rick, child of God, do you take Nancy, da-di-da-di-da, I do. Nancy, child of God, do you take Rick, da-di-da, I do." So that was what I remember the most. Yeah, it was our day. It was all about us. There are 300 people here celebrating with us for that day. But it reminded us that the rest of our lives, we were children of God. This word, or this place that we have in here, is called a sanctuary. And another word for that is a safe place. This is our safe place to worship God. But when we leave here and go out the doors into the world of sin, where is our safe place? Where is our sanctuary? You know, I loved it a number of years ago when they moved the baptismal font back there and the mirrors back there. And so as you walk out there, I'm sure most of you maybe look at the baptism and are reminded of your baptism. But for me, I love it because I look at the mirrors. And what are the three words on those mirrors? Child of God. And it reminds me as I go out those doors into the world of sin, that as a child of God, I am safe. God is my sanctuary. You know, this three words, child of God, has intrigued me for a long time. Because if I asked all of you, what is a child of God, I'd probably get all kinds of different answers. So I want to know, what is a child of God? Now, last fall, when Rory found out that he was going on a sabbatical, and I asked him, I said, well, I'll help pair out one of the Sundays and preach. But I want to do it on being a child of God. And I said, do you have anything, any books or anything that I can read and it'll help me out to write a sermon? And he gave me this book, this teeny weeny little book. It's called The Way to Love. It's written by Anthony DeMello, who is a Jesuit priest. And there's 30 or 40 little devotional things in there. And one of them is on becoming a child of God. And so I read it and I said, this is really good. This really helps me understand what it is to be a child of God. And I'm going to read to you, because it's so well written, I'm going to read to you the first paragraph in this book. The first quality that strikes one when one looks into the eyes of a child is its innocence. Its loving inability to lie or wear a mask or pretend to be anything other than what it is. In this, the child is exactly like nature. A dog is a dog, a rose is a rose, a star is a star. Everything is quite simply what it is. Only the adult human being is able to be one thing and pretend to be another. When grown-ups punish a child for telling the truth, for revealing what it thinks and feels, the child learns to dissemble, and its innocence is destroyed. Soon it will join the ranks of numberless people who say helplessly, I don't know who I am, for having hidden the truth about themselves for so long from others, they end up hiding it from themselves. How much of the innocence of a child do you still retain? Is there anyone today in whose presence you can be simply and totally yourself, as nakedly open and innocent as a child? Now I want to repeat that last sentence. How much of the innocence of a child do you still retain? Is there anyone today in whose presence you can be simply and totally yourself, as nakedly and open and innocent as a child? When I first read this, the word that jumped out at me was this word innocence, this innocence of a child. And it brought me back to the year 2000. I had just had a brand new cement driveway put in front of my garage, and put stakes around flags so nobody would go on it until it was cured. And Zach, my son Zach, at the time was 3 years old. And so I went to Zach and said, Zach, don't touch that cement. So as all of us know, whenever you tell a young child, don't do something, you know what's going to happen here. So I came back 5 minutes later, and there's Zach with a stick in his hand, doodling in the cement. Zach, what are you doing? I told you not to touch that cement. And he looked up at me with these innocent eyes of a three-year-old boy and said, but Dad, I didn't touch it. The stick did. And you laugh, but this is what we talk about. That we're talking about here is the part of this innocence of a child. To him, a star is a star, a rose is a rose. A touch is a touch. So what did I do? I sent him to his room. And as I just read here, when grown-ups punish a child for telling the truth, for revealing what it thinks and feels, the child learns to dissemble and its innocence is destroyed. So at that time, this three-year-old little boy, I screwed it up. I took away his innocence, just like probably all of you have done and probably your parents did to you, where they took away this innocence from you. The author continues on, and he talks about this innocence and how, as adults, how we keep away from it. We're continually pushing away from being this innocent child of God. And there's three ways in which we do this. The first thing is the desire to be somebody. To be somebody. To be rich. To be famous. To be above everybody else. To be something not to bring self-fulfillment, but to bring self-glorification. And when I was thinking about this, to be somebody, I'm going back a bunch of years, but some of you maybe remember the movie On the Waterfront with Marlon Brando back in the 50s. And he's a prize fighter. And he's going to have this fight, and he's the favorite, but his brother has connections with the bad union guys, so they bet a bunch of money on him to lose. So he goes, has the fight, and of course he loses. Well, they get all the money, and he loses his career. And later on, he's talking to his brother, and he goes, I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. I could have been somebody. God doesn't want us to be somebody. God wants us to be this child that He created us to be. The second thing the author says to infect this innocence is to be like someone, to imitate someone. You know, oh, I got to dress this way. I got to talk this way. I got to be this certain way. Because we're afraid to be ourselves. We're afraid to be this person that God created us to be. So we imitate other people. And then the third thing that he says is that we have this desire to compete or compare ourselves. You look at the world out there, it's constant competition for grades, for promotions, for in sports, always competition, competition, and then comparing in your neighborhoods. With your friends, you're always comparing yourself. Well, we got to be like our neighbors. We got to do this. If they do this, I do that. You know, I remember my neighbor got a hot tub. So if I'd have been like that, I'd have gotten a hot tub. I didn't do that. I just jumped the fence and jumped in his hot tub, you know. So, but it's these things that we are dealing with. So, you're out here, and you're probably wondering, well, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can go back to being this innocent child. It's not a question of going back. It's you have to. As we read in the gospel today, if you want to go to heaven, you got to be like a child. There's no gray area here. It's black and it's white. And you might say, okay, if I want to try to do that, what do I have to do? Well, if you've been listening to me for the last few minutes, you know where you have to start. Stop trying to be someone. Stop trying to be like someone. Stop trying to compare and compete with someone. You know, as I was looking at this, we have to remember that in the eyes of God, we are special people. Each one of us is unique. And when I was reading through some of the readings of Scripture we had today, I don't know if you noticed or not, when we read Psalms, in Psalms 14, and it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When I read that the first time, I'm going, I don't understand this. How can you be fearfully made? So I went online and looked it up and said, well, what does this mean? And what it is, when they translate it from Hebrew into English, it means something totally different. A couple of examples. It's not about being scared, but rather about being in the presence of what is sacred. And another one said, it's like a sense of awe, a sense of astonishment. You know, when God created you, He stood back and just said, wow. Wow, look at this person that I have created, this awe, this astonishment. And that's all we need to have. We don't need to be somebody or something or like somebody. God just wants us to be the child of God that He created us to be. Now I welcome you to join me in being that child of God, that innocent child of God that He created us to be. Amen.